Well, some of you know me, and I think a lot of you don't. So, we've been pastoring in the church for 28 years as far as in ministry, but we've been lead pastors for the last 18 years. And I just have to say, what you see is what you get. I'm a blue jean, t-shirt, boot-wearing girl. However, I have to confess, Cammy, where are you? I counted my shoes tonight, or actually last night after the message, and I brought 7 pairs of shoes. I got to confess, it's just, it's what it is, and there's many more at home. To my defense, we're staying a little extra time after this, so, you know, you can have one pair of jeans, but you just don't know which pair of shoes you're going to want to wear. And so, right? A girl's got to have shoes. So that was funny. I had to laugh at myself about that. Well, tonight I want to bring a message that I think is going to minister hopefully to everybody. If you've been in ministry for any amount of time, we can all feel a little overwhelmed and beat up, chewed up, spit out, and we just have to get up and do it all over again. And I know there's some people here tonight that you probably feel like, I just don't know if I should be doing this thing. I don't know that I fit. I'm just not good enough. You don't know where I came from. And so I just want to let you know where I came from. I love that story last night about Rahab. I was a Rahab. I did not grow up in church. I really didn't have an interest in God. I grew up on the streets. My mom was a manic depressant schizophrenic with extreme personality disorder. I've been in several different foster homes. I've been abused. I've eaten out of garbage cans. And I raised myself, pretty much. By the grace of God, though, he was there, and I didn't even know it until later, okay? And then he revealed himself to me in all those areas. But I just want to let you know, I rode my horse on Covenant Christian's property on Sunday mornings. I would be riding my horse. We have 12 acres, and I would ride my horse, and they would file out of the church. Probably Craig and Karen were going there at that time, because it was probably in the 90s. Were you guys still there in the 90s? So in the 90s, I was riding my horse, and I would see all these church people driving, filing out of the driveway, and I would be riding my horse, and just, you crazy church people, you just are just a bunch of hooties, you know? I mean, it was just like, and I think God has such a personality and sense of humor in that now here I am, one of those church people at the church that I was mocking. And so that's just who's up here tonight. That was me then, and this now is totally different. I love the Lord with all my heart. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, it was a radical salvation. I had a house fire. Life wasn't good back then. I had a house fire, and I lost everything. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because that house fire got me to the house of the woman that invited me to church and finally got me to church, where I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And he told me I was a sinner. I was a good sinner too, man. I knew how to sin good. But I walked into the church, and I remember feeling like everybody has it together here but me. I don't fit here. What am I doing here? But I remember during worship, between actually worship and before Pastor Norman got up to speak, I heard the voice of the Lord. Can sinners hear the voice of the Lord? Absolutely. And he's constantly drawing them by what? His loving kindness and his mercy. And he said to me, you need to change your ways and come unto me. I knew I needed to change my ways. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Sinners know what they're doing is wrong. We just have an innate knowing. Okay? Sinners have an innate knowing that what they're doing is wrong. But we just don't want to give in. We don't want to answer to anybody. Because we can do it. We can do it. At least that's what we tell ourselves. I knew I needed to change. I just didn't know how. And God said, He nailed me. You need to change your ways and come unto me. But it was the most kind and endearing and loving voice I had ever heard in my life. And the one thing I never had in my life was love. But I was able to identify it. People can identify real, authentic love. Even as a sinner. And it broke me. I mean, it broke me. And I just wanted, I didn't know anything about Covenant Christian, but I knew God was there. And I filled out every single thing on that first time attender card. Man, I need saved, I need discipleship, I need baptism, I need deliverance. I need it because God just told me I needed to change, and I don't know how, but He is here. And so that began my journey. And lo and behold, 28 years later, here we are. But I've gone through such a journey, and it's been a glorious journey. And whoever thought that I would become a minister, a pastor, a speaker? Not a blip on my radar, not anything I wanted to do. I don't know about you all. This was not in my plan. Okay, it just wasn't. All I wanted to do was love the Lord with all my heart. That's all, because I had felt that love, and I found a little card in a bookstore. I didn't know anything about Christianity. Remember, I was a sinner, just like you all. Maybe some of you grew up in church, but those of us that didn't, we know nothing. And I saw this little card, and it said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And I thought, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, he loves me so much. I just had a revelation of that love. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to love him back. Oh, with everything that I am. That's pretty simple. So I just began this journey of loving him with everything that I had. And that's hard because that means you got to die to a lot of stuff. And that's, I was going to say sucks. It does. It really does. But in a good way, right? Because it's so hard to die. But it's what we need to do. And then as we're dying, though, we're being resurrected. We die, we're resurrected. We die, we're resurrected. I'm still dying, and He's still resurrecting me. I'm still dying, and He's still resurrecting me. If we're doing it the way we're supposed to be doing it. Right? And so as I died to myself, all of a sudden, my dreams change, my values change, and lo and behold, he's I kind of refer to it like a frog in a pot of water. I feel like God knew me, and He knew, okay, I just can't put her in it all of a sudden. She'll just jump out. But He would just put me in the pot and let me get kind of used to the water, and then He'd crank it up, and pretty soon I'm all boiling, right? Am I the only one that ever felt like that or feels like that? It's like He had to work me into this thing or I would have balked. And I balked a lot. But glory to God, I loved Him with all my heart, and here I am today. And it's not like this journey's been easy. It hasn't been easy for me, and I know it hasn't been easy for you either. And tonight, I just want, the Lord wants to touch you. He wants to touch you, He wants to heal you, and He wants to strengthen you. Because He has a plan still, and He has a call still just for you. A specific call and plan, and you have talents and giftings you know not of yet. That He is going to pull out of you, that He is going to pull out of me for this next season. We got to forget about those things behind us. We got to forget, and we got to keep pressing on to the goal. Yes. Amen? Yes. Now today, what does this sound like? International tension, economic upheaval, and spiritual change. What does that sound like? Does that sound like today? Okay, but what's kind of cool or funny or is this was in Daniel's day. This was in Daniel's day. You could also say that for in Paul's day. Okay, I just want to read real shortly out of Daniel 10. My Lord, because of the vision, My sorrows have overwhelmed me. Have you ever felt overwhelmed because of what you see is going on in the world? Have you ever felt overwhelmed because of what's going on in your own personal life and you just don't feel like you can do it? You're just overwhelmed. I have retained no strength. You are like done. You have given it your all and you are wiped out. You got nothing left. Daniel felt this way. For how can your servant of the Lord talk with you? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Have you ever been sucker punched by life? I have. Where, you know, that devastation, maybe it's a death. And it's like you, it just takes the life and the breath out of you. We're going to experience those times. If you haven't, you're going to. Then again, one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, God loves you so much. And I think, you know, we sing the songs and we say it, but it's one thing to say it. This is another thing to believe it. O man or woman, greatly beloved, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Be strong. I just want to declare tonight that the church is not getting weaker as the end times approach. We are getting stronger. Our future is victory. Our future is, could you just say that for me? Our future is victory. My, oh, you all need to act like you really believe it. Can you just say, okay, do it. My future is victory. That's better. See, we got to quit being carnally led. And we need to start being spiritually led. See, carnality doesn't always mean sin. You're in your carnal flesh when you are sinning, so yes. But to be carnal just means I'm looking at the natural. I'm paying attention to what I see, feel, think, my carnal mind. You know, my reason and my logic. Logic says the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we've lost, we're doomed, it's over. Everybody pack your bags. Let's dig under a rock somewhere and hide. That's what our senses are telling us. But God says, no, this is a great day. This is the day of victory. You know, when it gets darker, your light's just going to get brighter. Glory. And by the way, can we start paying more attention to the light, which is our spirit, than our flesh and our mind and the circumstances? I will not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I feel, but I will be moved by what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says you're victorious. That we were built and created for the day that we are in. That we are going to take the gospel. And we are going to be victorious in the days ahead. Is it going to be easy? No. Some of you might be murdered. Oh, really? You mean it's not going to be easy? Oh, you mean it's just not everything that I thought it would be? Like, it's not the love boat? No. No. Not what I read. I'm here to remind us of who we are, our position, and our power. Who we are, our position, and our power. And let me just tell you, this message is so, so basic. In fact, I kind of struggled. I thought, God, I'm talking to a bunch of pastors. This is so basic. And he says, Bobby, pastors are people too. I'm like, oh yeah, I am too. You know, I mean, and I think what he means by that is sometimes we just get lost in what I call the kerfuffle. What does that mean? It's my own word. It's just the mess. Yeah. We get lost in the mess. And we get entangled. And we're not perfect. And we got to go back to the basics. I did graduate high school, even though everybody thought I wouldn't. And I'm a fighter. And so I was going to prove to everybody that I was not going to be a statistic of my circumstances. But the only thing that kept me in school was sports, because I'm very athletic. I was very athletic. I'm tall, so I played basketball. And we had a winning team. Let me tell you tonight, you're on the winning team.
Yes.
You're on the winning team. But even winning teams lose sometimes.
Yes.
I hate losing. I absolutely hate losing. But my coach, we had a great coach. Whether we won or lost, she would always make us go through the basics. Because she said, if you get the basics down, it'll just be that muscle memory. And you won't even have to think about it, and you'll get it when you need it. And so I want to talk to us tonight about the basics, the real basics. And let me just say again, I don't like losing. But sometimes we lose and it really hurts. I just lost a very close friend to COVID, which really makes me mad that it was COVID. Because COVID is just from the pit of hell that was created in a lab.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, it's so strategic. And we've got to start seeing things in the spirit and not so natural, carnally minded. We really do. And I have a simple theology. I'll just tell you right now. God good, devil bad. It really works for me. If bad is happening, it's the devil. If good is happening, it's God. Because God is good. And that's one of the basics. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But Dan was a close friend of my family. I mean close. He was in our church for years. He was a support. He was a friend of the family. My kids loved him. He was fine. He was healthy. We just had a conversation. We were going to go to his house for dinner. And the next thing I know, we get a phone call, and he had had COVID. And we prayed, and I don't know. I thought everything was going to be fine. And then the next thing I know, I'm told he's going to the hospital. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the family, Bobby, will you pray with us? And It was 5 days from the time he got it to the time he died. That was a fast, fast, fast go. Now, my husband will even say, if you want somebody on your team to fight with you, just call my wife. And they called me. And I mean, we were praying. We were bombarding hell. We were declaring the word of the Lord. We were calling him up. We were doing everything right. And I knew in my knower that he was going to be fine. Have you ever prayed for people and they die?
Yes.
I've prayed for a lot of people and they've died. I've prayed for a lot of people and they've been raised. I mean, it's glorious. What's the difference? I don't know. And we may never know. But I do know it's not God. It isn't. It just isn't. And I can prove it through the Gospels. Jesus went about doing good, healing all. All. Did Jesus ever put sickness on anybody? Oh, God, you guys, did Jesus ever put sickness on anybody?
No.
I'm talking to pastors here. Humor me! No, he didn't. And I really struggled, though. I got to be honest. I really struggled with Dan's death because it hurt me. It was a zing. We're all pastors. There's people in your church, we don't want anybody to die, but some of them don't zing. At least they don't zing me. I hate it. I don't like it. I want them to be here to fight the battle with me. It wasn't God's plan. They go home. But this one zinged me. Hopefully I'm not in that ballpark all by myself. But this one zinged me. And so I'm just talking to the Lord one morning. And I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. And I know I don't have the answers to anything. But this I know, that you are good. You are good. And when my father-in-law died, nobody expected that. He had never been sick a day in his life. He was a general. He was a mighty man of God. I mean, I expected him to go out on a cloud or something. And he died. And that was on a Saturday. And I didn't know anything better than to go to church on Sunday and go to the front and just worship God. And all I could say is, God, I don't understand. I don't like it. This hurts. But this I know. You are good. And when Dan died, God, I don't like it. I don't like losing. Lord, I applied my faith. You know, it's not always up to your faith. Sometimes it's up to the individual's faith. Sometimes they just want to go home. And sometimes we don't know what we don't know. See, what I didn't know that I know now is Dan, he'd lost his wife. He was lonely, and he had confessed to his family he was tired, and he was ready to go home. It wasn't Dan's idea to go home that way, and I still will attest to that it wasn't God's plan that he die with COVID, but Dan was okay with going, and so he just, I believe, surrendered. That said, what the Lord told me that morning, this is before I knew what I just expressed to you. I'm crying to the Lord and I'm asking him to heal my heart. And I opened my devotional for that day. And the devotional reminded me that you are in a war. And just like in a natural war, there's casualties. Sometimes, folks, because we are in a war, the spiritual war, you know that, right? We are in a spiritual war. And that's what I'm going to be talking tonight. We are in a spiritual war. A war between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Between Satan and God. We are on the winning team, okay? We are on God's side, but it is a war. And sometimes there's casualties. I wish there wasn't, but there just is. And we have to come to terms with that. We have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil. You know, the guy that goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know that guy that we are supposed to be vigilant about, but sometimes we just act like he isn't there, but yet we proclaim and confess warfare and power and this. We have to really be vigilant and keep our eye on the enemy. We deal not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and rulers, and dot, 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 dot. So could you please look at your neighbor and say, you're not my problem? See, the problem is we forget because you're right in front of me. And if you're bothering me, if you're offending me, if you're attacking me, I think I'm dealing with you. But really, I need to look past the individual. And I need to see that I'm dealing with a principality, a power, a ruler, whatever, that is manipulating him to come at me. They're called accusing spirits. You've heard of them. Accusing spirits. They accuse us. Satan accuses us day and night. By the way, he accuses God too. So when things go wrong in our life, you know what he likes to say? It's God's fault. If God was such a good God, he wouldn't have let that happen to you. If God was such a powerful God, he would have raised that person from the dead. If God was such a good God, he would have healed that person. If God. Does that sound familiar? If God. See, Satan, he's doing the same thing he did in Genesis. He's not creative. He's just really good at what he does. He's crafty. The Bible calls him, says it's wiles of the devil. Wily. Remember Wile E. Coyote? The devil's a little better than that. So what's the enemy's strategy? We're in a war. In a war, as in the natural, it's good to understand your enemy and know his strategy. Yeah? Okay. So we need to really understand. Again, this is basic stuff. I understand. But we got to get back to the basics because we got a war to fight. And you know, I don't want anybody in here to be a casualty. Whether it's a physical casualty or a spiritual casualty in that he wants to take you out. That's his goal. So what is the enemy's strategy? Lies and deception. I already mentioned it. One, he's accuser. He accuses us day and night, and he accuses God. Oh, Satan loves to bring offense. And he will bring offense in any way possible. And you know the remedy for offense? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. They were praying about you. Listen, we've all been hurt. We've all been offended. It could have been by your spouse. Could have been by your kids. Can you just think of one person that has hurt you right now? Just do me a favor. Think of one person that's hurt you that you haven't forgiven, or maybe you think you've forgiven. See, what I've come to realize in the years of ministry is Christians know we are to forgive. We try to forgive, but we fall short of complete forgiveness. What do I mean by that? Okay, well, we can forgive people for what they did, but we often fall short of forgiving them for how it made us feel. Wow. Now, the Bible says to forgive people from the heart. We need to forgive from the heart, which means what? How that situation made me feel. Because that's where I've been hurt. My heart. So I can forgive my husband. In fact, this happened. I mean, whoo, first 7 years of our marriage.
Don't tell too much.
First 7 years of our marriage was, wow, hell on earth for both of us. Okay, I brought stuff into the marriage. He brought stuff into the marriage. And it was big explosions. But, you know, let's say he would come home and let's say he would yell at me. Okay, he would come home and he would yell. And that, okay, so I would forgive him. Oh, Lord, I forgive David. Oh, Lord, I forgive David for yelling at me. Again. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's how it went, too. So what I noticed happening and what he noticed happening is as I was being the good little Christian girl, you know, I'm a pastor's wife, I'm the senior pastor's daughter-in-law, you know, I'm supposed to have it all together, right? Okay. Still don't. None of us do, but we serve a perfect Heavenly Father. Okay. Anyway, so what I noticed is I was getting more resentful and more bitter. Yeah. Because that's what unforgiveness does.
Yeah.
It starts with unforgiveness, then it goes to resentment, then it goes to retaliation, then it goes to anger, then it goes to violence, then it goes to hatred, and then what? Goes to murder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, there's all kinds of murder, obviously physical murder, and we say that a lot, where people get so bitter that they murder somebody. But divorce is murder.
Yeah.
Divorce is a murder of a relationship. Okay, so I was on my way to murder. We both were. I was ready to divorce the man. But yet, I was this good little Christian, and I had forgiven, so I thought. And my mother-in-law, bless her heart, I don't hide anything. The family knew. What was going on? Because that's me. You're going to know. I don't let just anybody know, but my family knew. Because I wanted help. She gave me the book. By the way, if you're having marriage problems, Power of a Praying Wife. Now, she gave me that book 2 years prior. I didn't read it because it wasn't my problem. He was the problem, right? Well, now I have two little girls. I'm wanting a divorce. I'm so done. I can do this. I don't need him. But I didn't feel released of the Lord. Darn. You know? I just didn't feel that release. So I'm like, I felt between a rock and a hard place. And the Holy Spirit's saying, read that book. Read that book. I'm like, So I thought, well, okay, I'll read the book. I'm not going to pray, but I'll read the book. I read the book, and the first chapter is all about dealing with you.
Yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden I realize, wow, okay, I need to forgive. If I got stuff, then I need to forgive him. So it took me about 40 minutes to get in touch with my feelings. Because we are great stuffers, people. We act like things don't touch us, don't hurt us. But we've gotten so good about It comes, and we think it doesn't hurt us, but it kind of goes boom, cha, swings back around and hits us. And we just stuff it, and we just keep going, we keep going. Anyway, it took me about 40 minutes, like I said, to get in touch with my feelings, and all of a sudden, I just start letting God have it. I call it vomiting before the Lord. And I just, he does this, and he does that, and he does that, and I hate him, and it's all your fault, God, because... Does that sound familiar? Going back to Genesis again. See, we haven't changed much either. Nobody ever wants to take responsibility, right? Anyway... My point is, when I actually started forgiving properly, which was for what he did and how it made me feel, I had to start forgiving him for the emotion behind the event. And then I had to repent for my unforgiveness, because unforgiveness is sin. Yeah. Let me say that again. Unforgiveness is sin. And when we are walking in sin, we are opening the door to the enemy in our life to do whatever he wants to do. And then we wonder why things aren't going right. And when they're not going right, we blame God. Wow. There, i.e., he is accusing us and he's accusing God, and he's just laughing in the background. Is this making sense? So... have you picked the one person you need to forgive? Or did you lose it? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. See, that's another thing, too. We make mistakes. But you got to forgive yourself. You can have resentment and bitterness towards yourself. So, just pick somebody. Pick yourself. I know you're not that good. I know you got something. Little foxes spoil the vine. Don't think it has to be this big thing. Okay? Do I have your permission to lead you through a prayer? Yeah. And this is how I believe we should pray. Okay? Now, please don't be a mockingbird. Mean this prayer. And this is a model prayer, okay? But mean it. Okay? So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I purpose and choose to forgive. Name the person and what they did. And how it made you feel. And you got to verbalize it. The enemy can't read your mind. God can, enemy can't. We're breaking his stronghold in your life tonight. I forgive. Name the person again. Out loud, name, I forgive. And I release them from their debt and obligation to me in this issue. Heavenly Father, please forgive me for my unforgiveness, for my bitterness, for my judgment towards them in this situation. Satan, I break your power and authority over me because I can in this situation, because it's under the blood of Jesus. I have forgiven. Holy Spirit, please heal my heart. And tell me your words of truth about this. Now listen. Now, your pastors, I don't need to tell you all the different ways God is going to speak to you, but I'm gonna. Obviously, there's the still small voice, but there's visions. He may give you a vision. He may give you a memory, another memory where you need to forgive. He might give you a song, whether it's worldly. You know, he speaks to us in such personal ways. Or here's the thing, you might just get a sense of peace. How many of you know peace is the Holy Spirit? Amen. And peace is better than resentment or bitterness. So that's an example of where we forgive, but we don't really forgive because we don't go deep enough, because we're not willing to take a look at our heart. Holy Spirit, show me my heart. Show me where I need to be healed. In Luke 22, Satan, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's saying, I fear that Satan wants to sift you like wheat. We always need to be aware. Again, we're in a war, and one of the tactics of the enemy is he wants to sift us. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to rob your faith. He wants to steal your trust. Remember, he came to only kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal your faith, rob your trust, and he uses circumstances to do it. And he blames God for it, because that's how he works. And it's a really good strategy if you think about it, because God is the one who empowers us. God is the one we need to go to be healed. God is the one that we need. And if he can get us to not trust God, if he can get us with his minions of doubt, fear, and unbelief to not trust and believe God, then we are on our way to being sifted out. Amen? He wants us to deny God, his power, his faithfulness, and especially his goodness and character. And he will use Scripture to do it. Satan knows Scripture better than you and I. And he loves to just twist it just enough. He perverts it. That's what perversion is. It's just twisting it just enough to where it makes sense and we buy the lie. Satan is the father of lies. I am not trying to glorify Satan, don't get me wrong, but I am trying to get the point across that if we do not know, if we do not understand the tactics of our enemy, we will be deceived, we will be sifted, and we will not be effective, and that is his whole strategy. Amen? If we don't take the bait, what Satan meant for our destruction, God will turn for our good. He will. Satan, I believe, caused my house fire. Because he's after people in the world too. I mean, he just loves to kill, steal, and destroy for fun. That's what he does. But how many of you know God didn't cause that fire, but God certainly turned that fire for good in my life. It burned away my past. I had nothing left. And all I could do was, I mean, I guess I had the choice not to choose Christ, but thankfully God put people in my sphere, the strategy of God, that got me to where I needed to go. And I got saved. So, on you, devil. I mean, you know, right? If we don't take the bait, what Satan meant for our destruction, God will turn for good. That's that scripture. God turns all things for good. It doesn't mean he caused it, but he'll turn it for good. But we can't take the bait. Amen? In my book, Jesus is perfect theology. Like I said, God good, devil bad. So, see, now, we all like Jesus, and we think the Holy Spirit's pretty cool. But the person we have problems with, if we're going to have a problem, is God. God the Father. For all kinds of reasons. A lot of you have father issues because of the way you grew up. You need healing. You really do. But Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You cannot separate us. So I just encourage you, as you're reading the Gospels and you're reading all about Jesus, how about you put God the Father in there too? Where everywhere it says Jesus, God the Father. God the Father. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. God the Father heals all who are oppressed of the devil. Jesus came to do the works of the Father and show us his will. If you don't believe me, says Jesus, believe the works that I do. Jesus and the Father are one. You cannot separate them. And in real Christianity, you shouldn't be able to separate us from Jesus. We should be doing the works of Jesus that does the works of the Father that is empowered by who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. It's really simple. I know this is simple. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. God sent Jesus. God's intention is that you have life and have it more abundantly. If you don't have abundant life, a lot of it is because of the enemy and the lies that we have believed. Now, does that mean it's all going to be easy? And you know, God never said it was going to be easy. In fact, he said, hey, you're going to have trouble. You're going to be persecuted. I don't know if we just read over that and think it isn't true or if we think we're immune. I mean, I know at one point I thought I was immune. When somebody came knocking on my door when Norman died, they came knocking frantically on the door and Bobby, somebody just gave me a call because they couldn't get a hold of you and your father-in-law's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. And I got to tell you, I thought, no, that doesn't happen to the Clears. Somebody's got their information wrong. Nobody's immune. Nobody's immune. It was just a perfect storm. Sometimes those perfect storms happen. There's some things we need to remember. Remember, because of what Jesus did on the cross, the enemy is defeated. That's the good news tonight. Yes, we have an enemy. Yes, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And yes, it's an ugly fight. You know, wrestling, when it says, wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities. You know what wrestling in the day of Paul was? It was brutal. I mean, it was to the death. They're poking out eyes, pulling out entrails. The whole point was to humiliate the person. How many of you know the devil wants to humiliate you? Humiliate the church. And he does a good job. But remember, because of what Jesus did, he defeated sin and death. He defeated the enemy. He made a spectacle of him. Yeah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Meaning they, us, overcame him who? The enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. By the blood, I love that we did communion. By the blood of the Lamb, we have defeated. We will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of our testimony. What's the testimony? The word of God. The best testimony of what Jesus did. I don't think we focus enough on what Jesus actually did. I don't think we focus enough on the fact that we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Yeah. Realize that we have authority through Christ. Our combat with the devil always should be with the consciousness that we have authority over him because he is a defeated foe. He is defeated, but somehow we make him to be bigger than he is. Or we forget that he is defeated because we feel so defeated. Because perhaps we're not doing this thing right. I don't know about you, but I'm just not perfect at this thing yet. I don't know that I ever will be. I sometimes get offended and I have to forgive. I sometimes, a lot of times, have to repent. I sometimes run ahead of the Lord instead of right beside him or behind him, actually. Remember who you are. We need to remember who we are. If I were to ask you who you are, who are you? What would your answer be? Would it be, I'm a pastor of Covenant Christian Church? Would it be, I'm a mother of three? Would it be, I'm David, well, it wouldn't be for you, but for me, would it be David Clear's wife? Would it be, I'm an American and proud of it? Or would it be, I'm a child of God? I am a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High. I am royalty. I am empowered. I am equipped. If it's anything less than I am a child of God, we have a misplaced identity. And we can't fight. See, this fight is about power and authority and identity. If we don't know our identity and we don't know our power and authority, then we're duped. See what I mean by the basics? In Daniel 11:32, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The key word there is know. We know a lot about God, but do we really know Him in an intimate, deep, personal, passionate way? Like when you first got saved, I loved Him and I was knowing Him, and I just, you know, passion will do a lot of things. Passion fuels us to fight the good fight, because we are so in love with Jesus that we will do anything for Him. Because we love the Father and we understand how much He loves us. You could tell me a lot of things about David Clear. You could come up and tell me all kinds of things about David Clear, but I will not believe them because I know David Clear intimately. If we don't know God intimately, we're going to believe a lot of lies about Him that are not true. And it will distort who we are. Because without knowing who He is, we cannot know who we are. Amen? Remember your position and what you carry. This is just too good. I just could not write it. I thought, I got to read this out of my Bible. This is a prayer. You're all going to be familiar with this. And I hope, if you're not, that you will take this and start reading it and start praying it over yourself. I've been praying this over myself, and it's awesome, okay? So it's going to be Ephesians 1, starting at 17. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed over us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give, and I make it personal, me, but just for tonight we're going to say you, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His, mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above, everybody say far above, principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things, everybody put, say all things, under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Everybody say, I'm His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now we're going to jump over to Ephesians 2. And it says, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, by the way. Through faith, not that of your own, but you know, not by your works, not by your good looks, not because you got talents, not because you're a but just because by grace. And raised us up together and made us sit together. Everybody say, sit together.
Sit together.
In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's the heavenly places? At the right hand of the Father.
Yes, God.
Now, in the Spirit, folks, in the Spirit, right now, we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And in the kingdom, any kingdom, you check it out. If a person is sitting at the right hand of the King, that is a seat of power and authority. And that seat of power and authority, if Jesus is the head and you are the body, I don't care if you're just a toe. You're a part of the body. And those principalities and those powers and those dominions are what? Under your feet. That's shouting words. You all just need to get a little bit more excited. Is this new to you? I don't know. Maybe. Are you asleep? Have you gone home? Where are you? Maybe you're just soaking it in. I don't know. We got to get a handle on this. You're not just some old sinner saved by grace. You are powerful. You are a kingdom's. You walk in royalty.
Come on, that's good.
You have a robe of righteousness. Who cares about what you did yesterday as long as you ask God to forgive you? Get over it. There's no condemnation in those who love Christ. There's conviction. And if you haven't repented, repent. It's that simple. We make it so ridiculously complicated because we believe the lies of the enemy. And he's sifting us like wheat. And he's making us feel like we're wiped out and lost. And maybe we are. But you can get back to where you need to be. That's the good news. Again, this is all good news. And remember what Jesus said. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I think too many times we're asking God to do what he's already commissioned us to do. We're asking him, Lord, please heal him. No. I don't see anywhere where Jesus asked Jesus just healed. He said, go out and heal in my name. That doesn't mean go out and ask me to heal. He's given us the power and authority to go out and what? Deliver people from demons and to heal the sick. That means I'm going to lay hands on David Clear and I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit for one thing. Because I think too many times we go out with our canned little Christian prayers that we know if David Clear's sick, then I just need to lay my hands on him and pray the prayer of faith. Lord, I, right now in Jesus' name, I speak healing into him. Well, what if he needs an emotional healing before he gets a physical healing?
Yeah.
What if he's got a spirit of rejection on him? And let me tell you, people with a spirit of rejection can't receive healing even if they tried. Why? Because they're rejected. And they cannot receive. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you? That means we follow. That means we listen to hear what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes I think we get, I know I do, get too independent. That's a repentance prayer right there. Can we repent? Am I the only one? Raise your hand if you've ever been independent of God in your ministry. Thank you. I just need to know if I'm hitting the mark because you're all so quiet. Oh, glory to God. All right. We're going to repent for independence from God. Heavenly Father, I confess and repent that I have gone out in your name independently of your Holy Spirit. I thought I knew what I was doing when I didn't. I was wrong. Please forgive me of this sin. You are God. I am not. I purpose and choose to forgive myself. And I release myself from all guilt, shame, and condemnation. Satan, I break your power and authority over me in this situation because God has forgiven me and I have forgiven myself. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, please heal my heart. And tell me your truth about this. So again, you're just going to hear. And maybe God's going to tell you another time you're independent. And then we're just going to repent. This is called following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say we need to start listening more when we go to pray for people. Just because somebody needs a physical healing doesn't mean it's a physical problem.
Wow, right.
Emotional healing can cause physical problems. Physical problems are just a symptom of a deeper issue a lot of the time. We're just pulling dandelions instead of getting things at the root. The Holy Spirit knows the difference. We don't. We need to be followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the Holy Spirit, messengers, vessels. Apart from Jesus, apart from his Spirit, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. In all our good efforts and our good little prayers. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues." Nehemiah 8:10. "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." If we have lost our strength, we have lost our joy. How do we lose our joy? Well, we've been sifted. We've been sifted. Not completely out, but sifted. And maybe we blamed God for things that have happened. Because we always want to try to make sense of things, and there's just things in this world we're not going to be able to make sense of, and we just have to chalk it up to, I don't know, but God is good.
Amen.
And not blame, because the moment we cast blame on God, we've fallen into the trap of the enemy. And he wants us to lose our joy in the Lord, because then he knows if we lose our joy, we lose our strength. And that leads me to the next scripture. I love all you guys. I love me. You, hopefully you love you too. Hopefully you think you're just great, because God says you're great.
Amen.
Hopefully you just love yourself to pieces. And usually in a room this size, there's somebody that doesn't. You've believed the lies of the enemy, and you have what I call self-bitterness or self-hatred. And the enemy will prey on you and pick on you and defeat you all day long.
Yeah.
But let me just say, the answer's the same. If there's things you don't like about yourself, you need to repent before the Lord. Because he said you're good. And he called you to this things.
Hallelujah.
To this thing. Oh, by the way, he calls the foolish things to confound the wise. David and I used to say that to each other all the time in the early days when we stepped in and we didn't know what we were doing.
Still don't.
Still don't. Well, do any of us really know? I mean, we know scripture and stuff, but really we can never get away from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Anyway, we would just tease each other. Or I meant it. Like, he chooses the foolish things. I'm like... It is good not to take yourself too seriously.
Right.
So as I was praying about this weekend, I really felt like the Lord dropped this right into my heart. And I know at the end of this, there's going to be freedom and strength, and you're going to walk out of here. But a lot of times, before we can get to freedom and strength, we have to repent. Or forgive, or both, usually both. If you have to forgive, you have to repent, always. Revelation 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have preserved and have had patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." You guys are doing great works. But It's all for naught if we have lost our first love. If we have lost our passion and our love, we cannot love the ministry more than we love Jesus. We cannot love the ministry more than we love the Father. We cannot love our children more than we love the Father. We cannot love our grandchildren more than we love the Father. We cannot love our giftings more than we love the Father. We cannot love anything. Our job, nothing. We can love nothing more if we don't have that fervent, passionate love. Then we've missed it. And it's that fervent, passionate love that's going to, what? Give us strength. Because we will have our joy back in the Lord. Because what we are passionate about, we have joy over and joy in. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, which, let me remind you, you are there with him too. We owe him our love. We owe him our passion. You are not your own. I am not my own. He paid the brutal price. And if life gets hard, we're in good company. Read the chapter before. We need to be willing to be martyred. We need to be willing to go through hardships. We need to be willing, and not that we're looking for it, but be willing. And if it happens, oh well, thank you, Jesus. You're worth it. If you've lost your first love, and if you're packing some sin around, and when I say sin, unforgiveness, towards people in the church, maybe your spouse, maybe your kids, if you're packing unforgiveness, you're packing sin, which means you need to repent. When I was preparing this message, God just kept saying the whole time, pastors are people too, pastors are people too, pastors are people too, meaning we're human. And the answer's the same for us, that it is for those people that we are wanting to so impact. And if we want our light to shine and our light not to go out in our churches, meaning this, that's not a salvation issue. I don't believe it's a salvation issue. It just means we're going to not have power in the church. Because you can't have power apart from Jesus and the love and the passion. And people know the difference. I would love, if you've lost your first love. I did. If it makes you feel any better, I lost my first love along the way. And I thank God he showed me and I repented and glory to God. It's better on this side. Because there's freedom. See, when we're doing things, it's heavy.
It is.
And it's hard. And we want to quit for the wrong reasons because it's not fun anymore. Because we just don't like it. Well, you know, I don't ever remember God asking us if we're going to like it. Do you? Sometimes it's those areas we don't like that really make us who God wants us to be. It shapes us, it molds us, it makes us better and stronger and faster. But if we've lost our passion, if we've lost our first love, we won't endure. So can I lead you through another repentance prayer?
Yes.
And I want you to open up to the Holy Spirit. Some of you might even go through a deliverance. That's okay. Wouldn't that be cool? I think that's so cool. You're all like, what? Doesn't mean you're possessed. It just means sometimes we've given place to a spirit so long that we become influenced too much by that spirit, and that spirit just needs to go. And here's the thing about deliverance, in my experience, dignity and deliverance never go together. So if you're more concerned about how you look and your dignity, then you're not going to, I would rather, you know, cry and get set free or scream and get set free than be in bondage to something that is going to prevent me from progressing forward. So, do I have your permission? I always have to get your permission. Because I can't do anything. I can't make you do anything.
That's right.
Do I have your permission to lead you in this prayer? And ask the Lord, if you don't do this, please ask the Lord from this point, Lord, show me my heart. Show me my wicked ways. Show me those areas that you want to work out. Knowing that our heart is deceitfully wicked. As good as we are, we just, it is. And the Holy Spirit will show you because he's faithful. That's a prayer that he will answer because he wants you to be totally set free because he needs you. All right. You ready? Heavenly Father, I confess and repent. I have lost my first love. You were once first, and I put the ministry, works, in front of you. Forgive me, Lord. I was wrong. You are worthy of all of my love and everything that I am. Without you, Lord, I am nothing. I give you all that I am today. And I will continue to give all that I am to you and you alone every day. I purpose and choose to forgive myself for this sin. And I release myself from guilt, shame, and condemnation. Satan, I break your power and authority over me in this situation. You deceived me, and you've lied to me long enough. I am forgiven. And this is under the blood. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is the lover of my soul. And he is first. And I will love him all the days of my life. No matter what. Holy Spirit, please heal my heart. And tell me your truth. Getting late, and I'm trusting that you heard from the Holy Spirit, and if you haven't, let me know, and I would love to minister with you afterwards, because that just means there's a certain kind of blockage, because you should be able to hear the Holy Spirit, and if not, there's a blockage. If there's anybody here tonight, and listen, we're among friends. We're among brothers and sisters. And if we can't confess our sins one to another, we got a problem. See, the problem we have is we all try to come and we bring our best face forward. And how are you doing? Oh, my church is doing great. We're doing awesome. And we never talk. Well, I do, but sometimes to certain people. But do we ever talk about the problems? Do we ever talk about the struggles? Like, if you were, like, do we ever just willingly say, you know what, I'm just like, church is good, but I'm a mess. And I need help. I need ministry. I just went through something really hard. And I would just love, if nothing else, if somebody would just hug me. Because nobody else understands what we're going through. Your people in your church, as much as you think they do, they don't. Nobody can. Senior leaders, nobody can understand the seat that you sit in except other senior leaders. You need, we need each other. Believe it or not, you need me. Ha! And I need you. But would you be so bold tonight to say, you know what, I need to forgive somebody for, I don't know. Or you know what, Bobby, I need to repent. And what I've found is when people are bold enough and brave enough to do this, usually other people have the same problem. No? All right. Well, that's fine. I'm going to let you go then. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight. I'm going to trust that you really meant those prayers. And if you didn't, just go back to your room and pray. And just know that you are empowered, you are equipped, you are powerful, you are a king's kid. You are not just some orphan. You have been adopted. You are royalty. Everything that Jesus has is yours. The promises are yours. Faith is yours. Power is yours. The enemy is under your feet. Quit letting him lie to you. You need to take those thoughts captive. Sometimes, oh my gosh, you know how many thoughts you... Okay, here, I said I was going to let you go. I lied. Lord, forgive me. He said I could... Hey, we could be here till midnight. Just joking. We're not going to be here till... Anyway, sorry. 40 to 60,000 thoughts. You all have 40 to 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts. Now, some of those thoughts are, I need to brush my teeth, I need to dress myself, you know, those kind of thoughts. But a lot of those thoughts are what? Accusing thoughts of the enemy. And unless we take those thoughts, the Bible, God didn't say, just ignore them, and it's all going to be okay. He said, because you have power and authority, right? He said, take those thoughts captive and cast them out. To cast something out is very violent. It's not just, oh, ha, 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 okay, bye. No, because the enemy is a little more relentless than that. We need to see and be aware of our thoughts. I guarantee you, y'all aren't aware of your thoughts, and neither am I. 40 to 60,000 is a lot. But I become, through the years, a lot more keen on the enemy's tactics and his evil thoughts of doubt, fear, and unbelief. And I take them, I said, no, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Devil, I'm a child of God. You don't have rights here. You need to get going. You need to get packing. I'm telling you, because I can bind and I can loose and I can, right? I have power and authority. Folks, we got to start doing the stuff we're reading and the stuff we're talking about. You know what's wrong with America? We talk too much and we don't do it. In the Hebrew culture, they're more about doing. In translation, it's more about doing. It's a doing. When they say they do, when we say we're just talking, and we're talking a good talk. I guess that's that thing. That's that phrase. Don't talk the talk, walk the walk. We got to start taking those thoughts captive. We have to start knowing I have power. I don't care if you feel like it. The Word of God says it. Remember, don't be carnal. Quit being carnal. And here's another thing. Oh, this is going to, I'm sorry, but we need to know these things. When I believe the enemy's lies, somebody in the picture's got to be a liar. If I'm believing the enemy's lies, I'm calling God the liar. I know, right? It's a simple thing, but think about it. If I'm believing the liar, somebody's got to be the liar. If I'm believing the lies of the enemy, and I'm saying, okay, you're true, you're right, mm-hmm, I believe it, then God's a liar, and I've just sinned. The sins that so easily ensnare us, the weights, these are those things that the enemy is using to sift us like wheat. And we have got to start being on what? Guard. Being vigilant to that roaring lion, because he will devour us. He will sift us if he can. But he doesn't, you don't have to let him, because you have been given everything by the blood of Jesus, by the cross, by the resurrection, by the fact that we sit at the right hand, by the fact that Jesus gave you everything, all his power and authority. You are so equipped, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. If we would just be more focused on the Holy Spirit than ourselves, we would be doing a lot more in this thing. We wouldn't be weary. We wouldn't be tired. We would be so in love with Jesus and moving and being led by the Holy Spirit, and we would put our weaknesses and our frailties aside, because they wouldn't matter. Amen? This is what you have. This is the truth. This is the basics of the gospel. And this is what is going to make you victorious. You already are. And for the days ahead, we have got to get serious about what we have. I didn't talk about the armor of God, because I'm just believing y'all know it. But this is the power in which we walk. Amen? So if you came in weary, repent and know and grab hold to the truth. If you need to repent for believing the lies of the enemy that you're just defeated and you're no good and your time is up, you're old, you're 80, and God is done with you, God says, no, your latter days will be better than your former. I don't believe ministry ever ends. Anyway, I'm gonna pray. And I'm just gonna let you go.
Be energized with all God's power from the realm of his magnificent glory. Let him fill you with all hope and patience and endurance. Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the word that is true. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, for the power and authority invested to us by the name and the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the faith that looks to the one Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that looks to those things that he promised. Father, I thank you that we will and do have faith and patience to inherit the promises, to go out in the power, and to really know that the enemy is under our feet. Lord, we will not be running from the enemy, but we will be running towards the enemy. Father, we will be on the offense, and no longer will we be on the defense. You have not called us to be on the defense. And we will have victory for your glory, because you've already won the war. In Jesus' name, I just bless your precious servants. The ones that you have called. The ones that you have anointed. God has anointed you. God has anointed you. Somebody here has just been questioning that, and God is saying, yes, I have anointed you to preach the good news. I have anointed you to heal the sick and to set the captives free. I have anointed you and I have sent you. Do not doubt. Take authority over doubt, fear. For that is not of me, says the Lord. I have given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Use it, says the Lord. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.